Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
For Bills fans. Let's go, Buffalo! By Bills fans.
Only Buffalo is going to win it!
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
This place is pandemonium!
Here's Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn.
And welcome back for another edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. That Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn, as we welcome in two special in-studio guests all the way from Southeast Michigan. We got Steve and Grady. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Good evening.
Thanks, Brad, for having us.
Yeah, happy to have you here. So part of the reason I decided to have you guys on, not just because you're our in-town guest this weekend, but because, you know, getting outsider's perspective, have you guys ever been to Buffalo, New York before?
No.
I've been to the Rochester area, but never really to Buffalo.
Never to Buffalo. Okay, so first impressions. You got in late last night. You've spent close to 24 hours now in Buffalo. What are some impressions, some thoughts on what you've seen, what you've done, what you've tasted so far?
Well, it was dark when we got here at night, but in the morning going through town, it was nice to get a good look at the shoreline and then to go up to the pier side and, you know, had a real good burger. But later on, we went to the 9/11 Tavern and had what is quite probably the greatest wings I've ever tasted.
How were they for you, Grady?
Oh, they were excellent. And I agree with Steve with wings as far as it could be the greatest wings we've ever had.
Really? Okay.
That sounded more forced than it really was, to tell you the truth. But no, seriously, I mean, I've been to Memphis and I've had real good barbecue there. And these wings, Buffalo is to the wings as Memphis is to the baby back rib in my book.
I talk about these wings all the time, in person, online, wherever, that they're the best wings I've ever had anywhere. So I'm glad to see. I didn't oversell them, did I?
No, and the fact that it's just so original when you taste them. The crisp to it, it's not added by breading or anything like that. It's all skin, the recipe, the flavor of the sauce. Perfect amount of heat, not overpowering, good flavor. I mean, it just explodes in your mouth. It's the way you like it.
And one thing you notice about Buffalo is there are so many great places to eat everywhere you go. It's a lot like Detroit. It's a blue-collar town. People are proud of where they're from, and they never forget that they're from Buffalo when they leave.
Blue Coward has the best foodies, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. All three of us grew up in Michigan. Grady, I've known you since you were in first grade. I was in second grade. I think that was 1991, 92 school year.
Yes.
And then, Steve, I've known you since high school.
Yeah, probably 99, 2000-ish.
So, I mean, we go pretty far back here, and we can all agree, you know, Michigan has some great things. The diner, the Coney Island, that's a personal favorite for me. Obviously, Detroit-style pizza is huge now globally, but I grew up on Buddy's, and I know that's ever evolving because they're adding more franchises throughout Michigan. But, you know, Buffalo is there's less franchises here. Like, one of our famous wing places, maybe we'll see it, maybe another trip here is Bar Bill. There's two. So, I mean, that's the closest we get. There's several Duff's in town, the Anchor Bar, known as the birthplace of the chicken wing. There's several of those around Buffalo. But for the most part, Buffalo's not really a chain city. I know you probably haven't had a chance to explore a whole lot, just South Buffalo and the downtown area. But have you noticed that so far, that it's not really a chain type city?
Yeah, and it's refreshing to see the mom and pop stores be able to fend for themselves. Much more self-reliant businesses here. That's what I like to see in America.
Indeed.
Other thing we had to tackle tonight is, if you're getting your tailgate stuff, this is not a plug. They're not a sponsor. I'd love them to sponsor. Wegmans went to, or Schwegmans, we'll call it, since they're not a sponsor yet. But we went to Schwegmans, and what was your impressions of that kind of store?
That was one of those grocery stores that really takes you back to the past, where, I mean, they have a huge bakery and everything like that. Just about anything you'd want to eat or drink, and I mean, you really could be a kid in a candy store getting lost in there shopping for a tailgate party. But it was good to be there with Brad, who was down to business, knew what we wanted to get, showed us a few things. Oh, I want to try this, want to try that. And then, yeah, I was able to give me some barbecue sauce for what is that, Begman's?
Bar Bill.
I need to remember that.
Yes, and I don't know if we're going to have time for Bar Bill. I think we're going to try some Buffalo-style pizza tomorrow, introducing you guys at our tailgate to some Salins hot dogs. I had hot dogs here. My dad, anytime he took us to Buffalo, we're going to Ted's Hot Dogs that serve Salins. The only Ted's outside of Buffalo, New York is in Tempe, Arizona. So I thought when we lived in Phoenix, it was kind of the Buffalo Embassy. First time moving here, wife makes hot dogs for dinner, and I was like, holy crap, these are amazing, and it's Salins. And I hope I'm not overselling them, but very tasty hot dogs.
And she just kind of got those at the grocery store, did she? Or
yeah.
Did she know how good?
Okay, just at the grocery store. You can get them anywhere. And in
Tempe, you can
buy a pack of them. They'll sell them to you at Ted's Hot Dogs in Tempe.
Gotcha.
So if you're in Arizona and you get a fancy four, or if you're flying out of Buffalo, they sell that stuff in coolers at the airport, so people will buy it on their way home. A lot of people who have left Buffalo, because why would anyone stay in Buffalo? Only sickos like me move here to Buffalo from, let's say, Phoenix. Here in Buffalo, everyone kind of grows accustomed to the food, and you want to taste at home. It's just like when I was in Phoenix. We found a place that had Detroit-style pizza. Had to get it. There was a Hungry Howie's by us. Hungry Howie's is terrible now. It's not what it once was.
It's hit and miss. The one by us in Garden City, Michigan is actually still pretty good. It's never going to be number one, but it's a spot on occasion in my book, but I like to switch it up.
The good kind of greasy kind. If you want just junk food pizza, I feel like that's Hungry Howie's.
It's better than Little Caesars, but it does the job when we want it. Definitely not an every week thing, but again, my wife and I, we switch it up quite a bit between different pizza places.
Do you ever go to pizza place, Grady?
For the most part, I used to go to Little Caesars, but I mean, it's not what it used to be.
We're crazy that for Little Caesars, we never get pizza. We get Italian cheese bread and crazy bread. That's all we ever get from Little Caesars if we get it.
On occasion, I do eat some Little Caesars, but I'm never like, oh God, I gotta have it right now. It may be like, okay, we're gonna have a party. We need five pizzas. All right, let's go to Little Caesars, get some. It does a job.
This is slowly becoming a food podcast here, but side note, there was a place in Westland and a place at the Laurel Park Mall that had crazy crust. It was like almost like a fry type serving of crazy bread. I don't know if you ever had that. Childhood memories right there.
I do vaguely remember that at Laurel Park.
At Laurel Park, and there was like a drive-thru Little Caesars that had it in Wasteland, Westland, for those who are not from Michigan.
Don't you be calling my town Garbage City, though.
No, I can't. Played some good soccer games in Garden City back in the day.
Yep. Also home to the first Little Caesars and the first Kmart. Neither exist anymore.
All right, so on the way home, I decided not to take you guys by the stadium, so we go in fresh tomorrow. You haven't seen the current stadium. You haven't seen the new stadium that they're building literally across the street. What are expectations for two outsiders going into a Bills game? Albeit it is preseason, it's not going to be the same as a regular season game, but there's still going to be a lot of buzz. It's Kids Day tomorrow. They have a big Fisher Price event going on. What's the expectations going in? We'll start with you, Grady.
Well, tomorrow is actually going to be the second Bills game that I've ever been to, because about a decade or so ago, stadium over here snowed out, so they moved the game against the New York Jets to Detroit. And
it's November 2014.
Right.
Yes.
And I was very impressed with how so many Bills fans traveled on a dime just to Detroit to be at the Bills game.
You'll see that loyalty tomorrow. All right. Yes. How about you, Steve? Expectations.
Well, I'm glad we didn't see the stadium today, because if I'm going to adopt Bill's Mafia for the day, I'm going to adopt it right. And that means going in, just seeing the stadium firsthand for the first time the day we're actually going to walk into it. I expect a nice tailgate atmosphere of passionate fans. Obviously, preseason, we don't mind about winning, but I mean, you want to see a little bit of action, and you want the guys to stay healthy.
So you guys might be Bills Mafia members for a day. Does that mean either of you will go through a table tomorrow?
Go through a table? No, I don't think so.
Probably not.
Are you sure? We picked up some Jenny Cream on the way home and some Labatt. So, I mean, if you pre-gamed enough there, is that a possibility? Or you'll know your limits at least.
I mean, in the future, if that table gets in the way of my wings, I may have to go through it. But, I mean, that's a different story.
Yeah, I don't know. I said I'll go through a table when the Bills win a Super Bowl. Hopefully that's sooner rather than later, because I have a pretty rickety old folding table that probably just needs to meet its maker, and a Super Bowl win would do it. I don't know if you can see it. I'll show you maybe after in that liquor cabinet behind me here. There is a bottle of Buffalo Bills wine. Of course, it was made in Kansas City, of course. But no, there's Bills wine in there. It's like Cabernet. It probably tastes terrible, but it's Bills, so I'm not going to open that until the Bills win the Super Bowl. So we have our weird, crazy superstitions here in Western New York.
I hope someday soon my friend gets to open that bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm, indeed.
Someday soon here. All right, before we go here, I know we're talking about your perspective coming here. Let's talk about your football fandom. I know, Steve, you grew up a 49er fan in Michigan.
Yeah, the Lions rarely sold out in 1989 until Barry Sanders got popular for the next couple years, and the Dallas Cowboys were god-awful. So the main event typically for the NFL was Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, and the 49ers. They were like superheroes. My grandpa admired them, and I was just getting into football at age six. 1989, I saw Joe Montana lead a big comeback, and the first time I saw him, how could I not be a fan? And they went on to win the Super Bowl that year, right in the midst of their dynasty.
How about Grady? Are you a Lions fan? I know it seems like you're a little more eclectic.
Well, so I'm definitely more of a college fan. Definitely go blue. I'm from Michigan.
Me too. Go blue, big time. Sorry,
boiler up, guys. And boiler up and fire up chips.
And with the NFL, I tend to just follow it in general because college players obviously go play wherever they get paid, wherever they get drafted, whoever offers them the contract they want, and it's I really like college football a lot more from that perspective, but I really do think what the Bills have is really cool. How it feels like a smaller community that, I mean, the Bills honestly put Buffalo on the map everywhere, and they're Bills fans all across the country because they never forgot where they're from or they have a connection to the city.
And as crazy as they may seem to be, the vibe from those Bills fans in general seems to be pretty good, I can tell. It's kind of hard to root against the Bills if they're not playing against your team. I mean,
it's been a theme here where folks say that Buffalo has a college-like atmosphere. So as two college football fans, I'm curious when we tape part two of this podcast here, a before and after. We'll do a break here, and then we'll play the second segment of reaction to your experiences at the game. If you feel this really did feel like a college experience. Now, it's going to be curved a little bit. Like I said, this is preseason. This game means absolutely nothing. I don't think Josh Allen's going to even play, according to Sean McDermott, in this game. So there is that, but I think you'll get the feel of it. You'll probably hear the shout song maybe once or twice. That's the song they play. What's the song in Detroit? Is it Gridiron Heroes? Is that what it's called? Something like that?
Yeah, or Forward Down the Field.
Right, yeah.
Whatever it's called here, yeah.
It sounds like the theme from a Three's Company, really.
In Buffalo, it's a take on the Isley Brothers shout song that a jingle writer from Indiana came up with years ago, and it's like become the anthem of Bills Mafia. We have an ornament here on our front door that says, hey, 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 let's go Buffalo, and that's from the shout song. So hopefully you hear that a couple times tomorrow. We'll see.
I mean, it's preseason, so what you don't really want to make headlines because something crazy happened.
No.
You want everyone to stay healthy and improve as a team, really gel.
Well, I hope for football fans here, for you two, it's an appetizer that would entice you to come back and come to a regular season game here if you can at some point. I know things are going to get a lot more pricey here with the new stadium. There's PSL, so tickets and everything, that demand is probably going to go up from where it is right now. But right now, a perfect, economically feasible time to go to a Bills game preseason.
Absolutely.
Yep, indeed.
Definitely looking forward to seeing the atmosphere. And plus, with this kind of weather, this is my kind of tailgate weather. I know the Bill fanatics are into the cold weather.
Oh, yes, let's go.
Now, I'm when it's snowsuit time, I'm the kind of guy who likes to be home. I've been to enough bad weather games at U of M. I've done my time.
I remember my first bad weather game was Purdue, Michigan. I think it was 1995, and the final score was 5-0. Yep, I was at that game.
Yes, me too.
Froze my toes off. I mean, It snowed like the entire game, but it didn't really accumulate. But I remember just...
And the field was muddy, and it became frozen. Remy Hamilton made a field goal and missed like two or three others, and Purdue crossed midfield late in the game, so they actually had a
they had
shot
the only
to win.
Drive the entire game.
I know.
But, terrible game.
But hey, Mike Alstott was on that team, and he went on to win a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers. And but of course, Michigan had Charles Woodson, so there's some star power on both sides.
Interesting fun fact for the two Michigan fans. I'm sorry, but under Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, no one from the University of Michigan has ever been drafted. However, one of the punters here in the Buffalo Bills is a former Wolverine. Give me a second here. I'm going to pull who that is offhand. It was a recent one. He was I think he was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals, and it was, I can't remember who the kicker. It was the first time a college kicker and punter were part of the same tandem. Punter's name that I'm thinking of right now, Brad Robbins.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just a few years ago, he was punting for Michigan. Was he on the 2023 team, Grady?
Yeah. He was drafted in 2023.
Oh, you better. I'm at the 23 Michigan championship team. So he was on the 22 team then.
Yes. So it was him and Jake Moody were drafted to the same team.
That's right.
Draft.
So he's a Big Ten champion, but not a national champion.
That's it. And, Jake Moody is now with the Niners now, so that's got to feel good as a Niner fan.
It does, but I felt really bad for him when he missed a few field goals, and it looked like Deebo Samuel seemed to have some unkind words for him. You don't need to see that on a team that's trying to win a game, especially.
Well, Deebo Samuel's gone. How do you feel about that as a Niner fan? I got to ask.
As good as he looked, it seemed that his attitude was leaving a bad taste in my mouth at the end. I wish him well. But not too well.
Anything expectation-wise that you want to see, that you're hoping to see tomorrow in this Bills preseason game as they host the New York Giants?
I want to see some unsung kids that hardly anybody's heard of make a play out there. Win a job. Get into the league. Even, whether they stay with Buffalo or not, I want today for them to kind of seize the day. Block a punt. Run a punt back for a touchdown. Maybe get a pick six. Someone you never heard of. That's always fun to have in preseason.
How about you, Grady?
Well, I'm interested to see how the quarterbacks are going to do because, I mean, it's pretty clear Josh Allen is a starter, but the two backups look like they're in a race to see who's it going to be.
Mitchell Trubisky and Mike White. Yeah, that's going to be the interesting part because Mike White, he got quite a few snaps as we saw at the practice they had at the stadium last Friday, the red and blue scrimmage they hold every year. That's going to be curious tomorrow what the ground game looks like. James Cook probably will not be playing since he's holding in right now trying to get that next contract from the Buffalo Bills as he's in his final year on his rookie deal. But right now, from what I've been hearing across the league, he's holding in to try to get that contract. We'll see if that pushes over the edge. All right, any other final thoughts or expectations going in tomorrow?
I'm just looking forward to the good food, some fun with friends, and definitely want the Bills to stay healthy.
Yeah, get your alarm clock set. We'll be leaving here, I'd say, probably 9, maybe 8:45 to get there at 9. Short commute here from the greater Buffalo area to Highmark Stadium, but we'll be checking that out tomorrow. So when you'll be hearing this, you'll hear part 2 coming up here. The reaction on what it was like at this Bills-Giants game. This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Ikor and Alex Jones.
And welcome back to the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Brad the Bruiser Ikor here. As we continue here, it's part 2 of our outsider's perspective here on Buffalo and Bills Mafia. Welcome back in, Steve and Grady. Guys, thanks again for joining us. So we went to the Bills game on Saturday. Granted, preseason action. It was a scorcher. But outside of that, some impressions here of the whole Bills Mafia scene here in Western New York on Saturday.
Well, first of all, you got to realize preseason and game itself the final result doesn't really matter so much as the individual efforts of the players. I mean, even Sean McDermott has said that he doesn't really game plan so much in for the first preseason game just to let his players play loose so that they might look a little bit worse than they normally would with proper game planning that would enhance the individual strengths of the players as a team and hide some of their weaknesses.
Well, my whole impression was this is the closest thing that I have seen to a college football atmosphere for the tailgating. And contrary to what some may think, that is a huge compliment because it made me feel like a kid again being there, especially since, you know, I like the Bills, but they're not my favorite team. Just about everybody around there was tailgating, huge wide open area. And then you walk through the grounds, by the way, totally worth the scorcher. You talk to people and you just get that great vibe. I mean, the Bills fans definitely seem to have a good attitude all around. And then you go into the stadium, oh, it was maybe 70% full, if even that. But you see a group that is way into their team. The wave got started in the first quarter, and there was a preseason game. When Knox caught a touchdown, the place erupted. You don't see that everywhere in preseason games, sometimes not even in a regular season game. So that was impressive.
All right, we talked a little bit about the game itself. I'm curious, what was your both your thoughts here? Either one of you can start here, just on what you thought of the tailgate scene. I know some teams are really into tailgating. I've been to Kansas City. Granted, it's cement parking lot all around Arrowhead, but there are good smells and everything coming from there. It's been a long time since I've been in KC, but that's the only team I can really think of a true tailgate. I've been to Philadelphia. Kind of not a ton of tailgating going on. And I'm trying to think of other places. Detroit, there's not really a great spot for it. I know there's areas where they have parties and stuff like that, but nothing directly by the stadium. And I think Grady and I, you and I talked that, you know, Buffalo would lose that if they played downtown. So just on both your perspective, have never ever been to Buffalo before or tailgated here in Buffalo, what did you think of the Buffalo Bills' kind of notorious tailgate scene, which was subdued since it was preseason?
Well, I'm really glad that the Buffalo Bills are just moving next door instead of downtown, because you will lose a lot of that organic, homegrown sort of feel with the tailgating scene around the entire stadium. That's really hard to replicate if you just uproot the team into a more city environment. Like, I've been to Detroit and Chicago, and it just really isn't the same. Like, in Chicago, they have a nice museum campus, but you don't really have that neighborhood vibe to it. And Detroit, it's really spread out because there's not really a great location to have everyone congregate the way you have in Buffalo.
I agree. And well, in Orchard Park, in this case, you know, where the stadium technically is, I'm sure it's above, it has that great atmosphere because there's so many different areas to go and tailgate. Everybody's got a favorite spot. Some people don't mind walking very far. And I know in the inner cities, yes, there'd be places where a lot of people would mind walking very far. One thing, too, even before the Lions moved to Detroit, when they were in Pontiac, yeah, the Silverdome was a huge indoor stadium with a huge lot, but tailgating there was not even close to what I experienced in Buffalo. Buffalo, that, again, the closest thing to what I experienced in Ann Arbor for a Michigan game.
And this was just preseason. I'm sure it's even better when the Buffalo Bills start playing regular season games or big rivalry games or playoff games.
Yeah, I agree.
And I would say that's accurate. I mean, I'd like for you to see it yourselves at some point, so you're always welcome back here. But, you know, I took you over to the infamous Hammer Lot. That's a hot spot for tailgating, and that's where, you know, the legendary tailgater Pinto Ron, where they cook variety of different dishes on top of his old Pinto, and then a bunch of folks go up on top of a van and squirt mustard and ketchup on him. A whole thing that started out by mistake. He simply asked for ketchup for his burger and got squirted, and it became a pregame ritual. That, you know, I've been to the mustard tailgate thing multiple times. I've been with folks who loved it. I've been with one of my best Bills fan friends who said it was the dumbest thing he's ever seen in his entire life. For people say, why would anyone do that? I know you didn't get to see that part of the tailgating, but we did get to stop by. You guys did get to chat with Pinto. What did you make of that?
I had a full conversation with him. That was awesome. Fellow engineer too, albeit retired. We talked a little bit about the law of averages, because that's a term I've used several times in and out of sports. And a lot of my colleagues would be like, yep, just got to be technical about everything. He was kind of the same way. A real down-to-earth guy with a lot of brains. And talking to him, he may not seem like the type of personality to go through and get scored with mustard and ketchup. We didn't actually see that here. But, you know, I can see it. And there's fans like that all over the place. But the gentleman was an interesting personality to talk to. And it was really cool to actually shake his hand. Maybe not would have been able to have so much time if it was a regular season game. But, yeah, he's an important part of Buffalo, and I really hope he gets to see a Super Bowl championship for them.
Well, the best traditions out there are the ones that just happen organically. They cannot be planned. They cannot be manufactured. You can't just get a corporate sponsorship to come in and invent NFL tradition. And what you've got with your fans, all your iconic fans from like multiple generations, that is really special what you guys have in Buffalo.
Now, if you're wondering why Steve and Grady sound different, they were in studio in part one, but part two, we're taping this over the phone here because basically, we pulled a doubleheader on Saturday. Not only did we go to the Bills preseason game, but I dragged these guys up to Lockport, New York, for the AAA championship game in the Northeastern Football Alliance. Congratulations, of course, to the Lockport Wildcats. And
yes, congrats. That was fun.
Congratulations to the Upstate Predators on a fantastic season. We can touch on that there, but we've talked about the tailgate. We've talked about the game. We talked about you guys trying wings last Friday. How about trying Buffalo-style pizza? We got it from an iconic place without saying names, but they have an older location on Bailey Avenue. What did you think of Buffalo-style pizza?
It was delicious, and it's funny. When I saw it, it tasted exactly like how I expected it to taste, if that makes sense. It had a hint of the Detroit-style uniqueness to it, in the sense that it had the classic cup pepperonis. It had a very unique savory sauce to it, and it was thick crust, much thicker than a hand toss, but not as thick as the Detroit style pizza, not even nearly thick as the Chicago style, but big and round with the long thin slices. It hit the spot. I can't remember if I had five or six slices on Saturday night, but believe it or not, the best one was the one I heated up Sunday morning for breakfast.
Oh, it was absolutely wonderful. It was a little thicker than what you would associate with New York City style pizza, but like it was very delicious. You don't feel, one thing I noticed about Buffalo food in general is you don't feel terrible after you eat it. Which means it's really high quality stuff.
Right. And in New York, I mean, I've never been to New York City, but New York style, you're more prone to just grab a slice or maybe two. Sure, sometimes you get a pie, but in Buffalo, I just couldn't see myself going without actually getting a pie when you do that. You kind of go all in with it.
Yeah, I think that's well said. We would agree here the way we work here in Buffalo. I know there are plenty of pizzerias here. You can go grab a slice, but for me, no, I want pizza. If I'm eating pizza, I look forward to having pizza the next day, so the leftovers is always part of it for me, so yeah, I can definitely appreciate those sentiments as a guy who enjoys his next day pizza. You want to get a whole pie here.
Amen.
All right, and then, sure, why not talk about it here? I had no idea about the semi-pro football scene here in New York. And to our listeners who do not know, I was introduced by my co-host here on this podcast, Alex Jones, who is actually the assistant head coach and special teams coordinator of the Ithaca Warriors. I think he may just be playing from this year. They are in the AA championship. So the same field that Grady and Steve and I were at Saturday night. I'll be back there again this following Saturday doing the one AA game here between the Ithaca Warriors and then the Buffalo Stampede. So just thoughts on a different kind of football atmosphere. Obviously, you went to a professional football game here in Buffalo. Quite different from what you'll see at a semi-pro game, but just curious on your thoughts.
Oh, I'll go first. A lot of this had to do with how hot and dry it's been this summer. It's a very brown field, and I'm glad it wasn't wet because those poor guys have been playing in the mud. But it was a hard-fought game through and through, and Lockport won the game. They were definitely the more skilled team, and they seemed to have the most power up front. However, their opponents made fewer mistakes, and that's where they were able to grab the lead. But Lockport, they buckled down. They went down on a final drive and scored, and the defense knuckled up to win it. The energy was amazing, though. Number 78, Mr. Country, he had so much energy to him to keep the team going. But I could tell that he's one of those guys, as intense as he is, when all's said and done, he looked like a perfect gentleman. He was shaking hands and talking to a player on the opposing team. They were even sharing a laugh after the game. So that's real nice to see. And I wish him luck in his future. Maybe they can go for a three-peat next year.
It was a very physical game, and it was unfortunate that had quite a bit of extracurriculars that you don't really want to see in a well-played game like that, but I'm sure most of those guys, they left it all on the field, and it shouldn't be a problem if they met outside of the gridiron. I mean, the emotions were running high, and both teams played like they really wanted to win it.
Yeah, despite the penalties, they did leave it all on the field, I believe. And that's a good thing.
Well, guys, it was truly fun having you here. I'm not just saying that because, you know, my old buddies back from high school, and Grady and I go all the way back to first and second grade back in 1991. But it was a treat having you guys here to introduce you to the land that, you know, we call home, that we love, that I moved, you know, across the country from the Southwest all the way to Buffalo to live here. It was an honor and a privilege to go ahead and introduce you here to Buffalo, New York, and greater Buffalo.
It was a great taste. It was great. A great visit with you, my good friends, to your family and everything. And, taste of Buffalo all around the food, sports, and the atmosphere.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Honestly, Buffalo fits you really well, Brad. And I mean, I just don't see you guys moving again anytime soon, even though you've moved quite a bit around the country over the years.
I agree.
It's true. I mean, I've done this podcast, I think, in 5 different states since I started doing it with Alex. And we're here, and it's home.
That's awesome.
Guys, thanks again for joining. I really appreciate it. I know you just came for a visit, and I'm putting you guys on a podcast, so appreciate that as well.
Hey, we got to do it from 2 different states, too, because I'm here in my basement in Michigan. So, hey, that's pretty cool to get started in 2 different states.
Yeah, in 2 different places tonight. We had to do a 3-way call as opposed to last Friday when we did part 1, and you guys were opposite sides of the table from me, so a different dynamic tonight, but nonetheless, glad to have you on this podcast. I hadn't even met my co-host until, I think, 3 years into the podcast. I finally met him in Buffalo, and we didn't do a podcast then. We just, you know, shook hands and gave each other a hug and took a picture or two.
Wow.
It's different how podcasting works now. You don't have to be in the same room or same state or same house. You can do it anywhere. So thanks again for coming in to help tie this podcast together.
It's a pleasure. And thank you again, my friend.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
And have a great season, Bills.
All right, that was Grady and Steve, my buddies from Michigan, who made about the 5-hour drive around Lake Erie, not to Canada, but drove through Ohio and Pennsylvania, that little snippet of Pennsylvania by Erie, and into Buffalo, New York to come in for the weekend here. Like I said, took him out for the best wings in Buffalo. Check my Twitter feed. I'll put up some pictures. If you want to know what it is, tweet at me. Tweet at me at Bill's Bruiser. Of course, Alex isn't in this episode, but you can always tweet him at TW Callahan DHS. You can also follow us on Twitter at DHS Buffalo. Find us online at DraftHouseSports.com and at Facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House. For Alex Jones and for my buddies Grady and Steve, I'm Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn. Go Bills.
This has been the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Available on Spotify, Odyssey, Prime Music, Audible, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An R Street Media production.